another episode of the J. Makopa podcast. I would like to welcome you for tuning in. If you're new, welcome to the extra massive family. But if you are a lovely, loyal listener, you know that the podcast is always fire. My name is Rachel Lahordi, aka Rachel That. Now, before we get into it, share the podcast. Shout out the podcast. Share with your family, share it with your friends, share it with your friends' friends, share with your family's friends. Anyone who you know would need this podcast, just share it. Otherwise, you're more than welcome to take a drink, Nyana. Sit back and relax. Let's go.
What is going on, everybody? Thank you so much for joining the J. Makopa podcast. I have to say once again to Rachel Black. Rachel, you're doing a great job. I want us all to know that Rachel is going to be holding down the introductions for the whole month of September. Next month, we have somebody new. The month after that, we have something new, because the J. Makopa podcast has space for everyone, so there's going to be different introductions. So shout out to Rachel Black, doing an amazing job. Like I said before, if it's your first time listening to the podcast, here is your extra mercy. But if it is not your first time and you're always listening, here's your extra mercy, guys. Shout out to you. But I need to give an extra shout out to someone special who shouted out the podcast this week, and that is Saneli Siwe Kakaza. And Sanelisiwe, here is your extra mercy. Thank you so much for letting people know that you were listening to the podcast and that it is blessing your life. So shout out to you. Yes. Take care. I hope all the best for you. Today, we're going to get into the message. And I'm believing it's going to really touch your heart. I am going to be speaking about hope. We are living in a time where so many things are shaking the world and are causing many people to be hopeless, causing many people to worry, causing many people to not be sure about what's going to happen next. Now, I want to speak this word of hope into your life, because I believe as God's people, in moments like these, we are meant to be holding on to hope, but not just a hope for yourself, but a hope for other people. You are meant to be shining hope to the lives of others. And now we're going to speak about what happens when God comes in and how the hope that we hold to changes situations. Are you ready for that? Let's say this prayer. God, I come before you. Thank you so much for your love and your mercy. I pray, God, that everyone listening to this, my God, would be blessed. If you're listening on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or if it's on Instagram Live, I pray that this would change, motivate, and build them up to becoming the person who you've called them to be. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, and I said amen. Amen. Can we all say amen? Let's be typing those amens if you are listening, watching this from a screen. So I want us to go to the book of Psalms, chapter 62, verse 5. The book of Psalms, chapter 62, verse 5. It says this: yes, my soul, find rest in God. It says, yes, my soul. You see, this is where it starts. I'm speaking about, the message is called I Hope. I Hope. It says, yes, my soul, find rest in God. Where do you find your rest? It says, my hope comes from Him. My hope comes from Him. You see, these days there is the iPad, there's the iPhone, there is eyebrows, you know, there's iced tea, there is eyes, there's ISIS, there is idols. But what I want to speak about today, like I said, the title of the message is I Hope. There's so many people who hope for different things. There's some people today who you're saying, I hope I pass. There's some people who are saying, I hope I get the job. Some people are saying, I hope I get a raise. Some are saying, I hope I win the lotto. Some are saying, I hope He proposes. We pray. Some say, I hope I get pregnant. Some say, I hope I get married soon. Some say, I hope. You're not asking for marriage. You're not asking for a baby. Some of you are just saying, I hope I go on a date soon. In Jesus' name, we're praying for you too. We're praying a breakthrough is coming for you, okay? Some are saying, I hope I lose weight. Summer's coming around and things are opening up. I hope I lose weight. Some people are saying, I hope I get a promotion. You see, I want you to know what your hope is in is where your hope will come from. What your hope is in is where your hope is going to come from. So if you are placing your hope in something that is broken, if you are placing your hope in something that is not stable, it means the hope that comes to you is also going to be unstable. It means the hope that comes to you is also going to be changing with the seasons, and you're going to remain in a place of being insecure, of being worried, of being anxious. You see, you need to make sure that where your hope comes from, or what you are placing your hope in, is going to be a place that is stable and that is faithful and that you can rely on. And today I am telling you that your hope must be in God. Can someone say amen? But why do we need hope? Why do we need hope today? I want you to know that what hope does in your life is hope brings direction. Hope brings a lifting of expectation. Hope helps you see beyond today. Hope helps you see the other side of the story, and hope also helps you see a better outcome. But a thing that affects your hope, often you may find that your hope has been affected by past mistakes, by failures, by people doing things that have hurt you, by things not changing, and it has caused you to not have a great level of hope. And I'm praying today that as you're listening to God's word, that it would cause hope to arise in you. You see, often your mistake is that you are placing hope in the wrong things. And if it is not in God, it means that what you are putting hope in will ever change. And even when you are speaking about maybe getting a job, maybe improving on different things, maybe things that are going to rely on the economy, the hope that you're going to draw from that well is going to be a hope that is changing, and your life will never ever be in a place where it is stable emotionally or spiritually. But when you look to God and you put your hope on who is faithful, on who you can rely on, then no matter what circumstances change around you, you will always be able to say, I have hope. I am strong. And you know, I don't want this message to just simply be something that you are thinking personally for yourself, but I want you to understand that in your life, there are people who need you to bring a message of hope. There are people who need you to be someone who will bring a blessing in moments of turmoil and in moments when things are not working out as we hope they would. So the book of Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it says, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it says, may the God of hope, it says the God that you serve, the God that we say is a Yahweh, the God that we worship, the God that we are speaking about every single time on this podcast, the God that you worship and you love is a God of hope. So it says, if you are a follower of this God, it means that you must be a person of hope. Listen to that. If you are a follower, if he is your God, if God is the one you worship, if God is the one that you have laid your life before, and God's word says he is a God of hope, it means that your words must be words of hope. It means your imaginations should be imaginations of hope. It means that the words that you speak to those around you must be words of hope and not words of doubt. Can you hear that? The God that you serve as a God of hope. But look what the Bible says here. It says that when you put your trust in him, there is joy and there's peace. There's joy and peace in your life. And it says so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when it says overflow, it means that the joy and the peace in your life is so much. The joy and the peace in your heart, in your words, in your mind, in your spirit is so much that it overflows and it must bless the lives of those around you. You must understand that your trust in God is not only going to bless you, but it's going to bless the person you're married to. It's going to bless the people you call your friends. It's going to bless the church that you are in. If your trust is in God, it means that joy will overflow. It means peace will overflow and it would bless those around you. So you must see that the trust that you have in God is not just something that is going to bless you. It's going to bless your father. It's going to bless your mother. It's going to bless your brother or your sister, your uncles, your aunts, your cousins, your friends. It's going to bless others, but it starts with you. You must put your trust trust in Him, no matter what the shaking is around you, no matter if you are facing a giant, no matter if you are facing a mountain, the trust that you put in God will make sure that you will face your challenge with joy, with peace, but it would not just fill you, but it would bless those around you. Can someone say amen? The book of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23, it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. It says, hold unswervingly. You know, there's a rapper called Big Sean, and he likes to say swerve in his songs. He likes to say swerve. But the Bible says that we should not swerve. When Big Sean says swerve, we say, Big Sean, we're not swerving. We are holding unswervingly to this hope because the one who promised is faithful. So it means that when we hold on to our hope in God, we know that we can hold unswervingly. When the world tries to make you swerve, when emotions try to make you swerve, when disappointments try to make you swerve, we say we hold unswervingly. We hold unswervingly to our hope. Why? Because He who promised is faithful. I've spoken before about Oyajola 9:9. Those episodes often start off with someone saying that I am uncomfortable with how someone has been behaving. They are unfaithful. And when there is someone in your life who is unfaithful, you know that you can't be calm. You always have to be checking your back. You always cannot be too relaxed because anything can change. This person can just change in you at any second. This person could change your life and hurt you. Your emotions are vulnerable. You are in danger. But when there is someone who is faithful, you are stable, you are secure. Even when you don't see the person, come on, we serve a God that we can't see. But because He is faithful, you can trust Him. Because He is faithful, you can rely on Him. Because He is faithful, the pain that you are carrying in your heart, the pain that other people don't know about, the pain that not even your friends, not even your parents know about, those areas in your life that are so uncomfortable and painful, because you serve a God who is faithful, you can hold on to a hope that will not fail you. Why? He is faithful. I want to speak to your heart today and say, He is faithful. He is faithful, not just to your life, but this must be the message that you speak to your mother when she feels low, that you speak to your father when he feels low, that you speak to your sister, your brother, when she or he feels low, when you speak to those around you. You say, let us hold unswervingly. When you see people are beginning to lose hope, you say, He is faithful. May that be the words on your mouth, the words on your lips, that your God, our God, is faithful. So let us hold unswervingly to this hope. But I want to speak about a story with that someone was facing in a hopeless situation. We find that in the book of Mark chapter 5 verse 1 to 8. There was a man who was possessed by an unclean spirit. And we see when God steps in, when hope steps in, when God steps into a hopeless situation, things are going to be impacted. You cannot put fire in a room and the room is not changed. The Bible says that our God is an all-consuming fire. You cannot put fire in a place and things don't change. Our God is a God of hope. And when hope gets into a place, things will change. Let's get into it. I'm getting excited, as you can tell. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 8. It says, I'm reading in the NIV version. It says, they went across the lake to the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of a boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he was often chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one strong enough could subdue him. Day and night, among the tombs in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell to his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, do not torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit. You see, what we are looking at is there was a man with the impure spirit. He was possessed by a demon, by an impure spirit, and he was left in the tombs. He was left in the hills. What it looks like is people had given up on his situation. He was in a hopeless situation. What we see here about this man is that he was living in the tombs. Listen to that. He was living in the tombs. His life was in a place that was supposed to be for death. His life, he was living in a dead place because it was hopeless. What we see here is not even family members were with him, not even loved ones were with him, not even friends were with him. He was all alone. People had given up on him. Now you may be living in a situation, or you may have a situation in your life that you feel like giving up on, that you may feel like giving up on, and it feels like there's just death around you, and you are living, your life is there. As a person, you are breathing, your heart is beating, but you are looking at a situation that it looks like I am living in a hopeless situation. There is someone in your life who is living in a hopeless situation. They are living where there is no hope. It just seems like there is death around the person. And not only that, the Bible says that this man was, they tried to chain him, but he would break from those chains. How many of you know, and maybe you're speaking to me, and you know that sometimes there are things that you can try to bring control over, but there are things that just break out of your control. And you may try to bring strong people, you may have brought strong people around you, but no matter who's there, no matter what you've tried, whether it is chains, whether it is people, but the situation still looks hopeless. The situation still looks like nothing is going to change you. I want to speak to you today, and I want you to know that you can relate to this man. You can relate to this man. But what do we see? This hopeless situation was away from Jesus. All of these things were happening outside of the presence of God. And this is something you need to make sure that you don't find yourself doing. When things become hopeless, don't bring the hopeless situation outside of the presence of God. This man was hopeless. These things were out of control. There were things that were just spiraling out of control. There were things that people had given up. You may be giving up on something. Things in your life may be out of control. Maybe it's one area that just seems like, you know what, I'm just leaving this. I don't want to look at it. I'm going to put it in a tomb. I'm going to put it away from society. I'm going to put it away from myself. And maybe you are like this man, and you have had some nights where you are crying, where you are crying out to God. The Bible even says that he was cutting himself. Some people, even in these days, a sign of feeling suicidal or just suicidal thoughts come over, or hopelessness, people still cut themselves these days. And maybe you are feeling that you were in that place, or maybe you know someone who is in that place, but all of that is happening far from Jesus. But what we see about this man is when Jesus steps in the situation, when his eyes see Jesus, he runs to Jesus and lays his life before Jesus, and Jesus does a miracle in his life. Hope steps into the situation. When it looked hopeless, hope steps. I want to speak to your heart, and I want to tell you that if you were listening to this podcast, God is saying hope is here. Hope has arrived. Hope is in God. Now God brings a great change in this man's life. In Mark chapter 5 verse 18 to 20, it says, as Jesus was getting into the boat, as Jesus has just done a great thing, the man who was possessed by the demon begged to go with him. But Jesus said, go to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. All the people were amazed. Hey, God is going to bring hope in your life. God is going to bring change. You need to have hope in that. You need to believe in that. What is it that you are hoping for? What is it that you have looked at and it was hopeless? But today there is hope building up in your heart. And I believe that the hope is going to build up into a testimony. And once God does something for you, the Bible tells you, tell others about it. Don't keep it to yourself. You need to testify in Jesus' name. When God does something in your life, you need to testify in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I just want to say once again, just touching on this man was living in a hopeless situation. He was living in a dead place. Now let's make sure, I want you to make sure that the place you live, The place you call home is not a dead place. Amen. The place that you live. Now, often when the Bible speaks of dead and life, when the Bible speaks of dead and life, anything that is dead is something that is away from God. When anything is away from Jesus, when anything is outside of the presence of God, that thing is dead. But when Jesus comes into the place, hope comes into the place, and not just hope, but life comes into the place. I want to speak about where you live, where you sleep. It could be at your res if you're in university. It could be in your home if you're staying at home. But make sure that where you live is not a tomb. Make sure that where you live is a place where Jesus reigns. Make sure that it's not just a place where there is a religious practice that's going on, but there's no true passion for God. But there's no true desire for God. You see, that is the difference. You can have a place that is dead, but it looks religious. Just because you guys pray sometimes, just because you go to church sometimes, it doesn't mean that the life of God is in your home. There has to be a desire and a passion for God in your home. Make sure you don't live in a tomb, because when you live in a tomb, what we also see is there is demonic activity. And demons and evil spirits are a real thing. Evil spirits are a real thing. Let's not even try to lie to ourselves, because if you're listening to this, most of the people who are listening to this are South African. And in Africa, we know that there is a strong spiritual dimension. Now, when you are seeking God and when you are praying in His word and there is passion, there is prayer happening in your house, there is reading of God's word happening in your house, what you are doing is you are creating a barricade. You're creating a protection away from the spiritual, the demonic forces that may want to attack your home, attack your family, attack the marriage of your parents, attack your marriage if you're married, attack your relationships, attack your friendships, attack your emotions. When there is true passion and when God is truly the center of your home, the all-consuming fire, when you know that your house is passionate about God, then you are making sure that the enemy and demons will not have place in your house. So make sure that it's not religious. Make sure you are seeking God with all your heart. The Bible says if you seek Him with all your heart, you will find Him. Don't live in a tomb, because you could be listening to me speaking about a man in a tomb, not realizing that you are living in a tomb yourself. That where you are staying is a tomb, because the presence of God is not respected. There is no fear of God in your house, in your home. You just watch whatever you guys want to watch. You just treat your home however you want to treat it. You just invite whoever you want in your home, and you're not careful to make sure that this place is actually a place where God reigns. Make sure that your home is not a tomb. Make sure that your res, where if you were in university, don't make your res room a tomb, that when you are coming into it, no one. Some of you are wondering, why is there depression in your household? Why is there depression in your res? Why is there confusion? Because that is a tomb and it is not a place of life. Oh, I pray that you have received that from the bottom of your heart. I pray that that rested into your heart. Make sure that your home is not a tomb. Make sure that there is life. Make sure that there is Christ in the name of Jesus. He was filled with demons, but what are you filled with? What are you filled with? Be honest with yourself today. Be honest with yourself. Look at the amount of time that you spend. What do you spend with most of your time? What do you spend on? What do you spend your money on? What do you spend your emotions on? What are you filled with? He was filled with demons, but you can also be filled with things that are not right for you. You can be filled with things that are not right for you. Hence, you are beginning to feel hopeless. Hence, you are beginning to feel like, hey, why is this going on? Then you are feeling like, why is there confusion in your life? Then you are wondering, why is your spiritual life struggling? Why is it hard for you to pray? Why is it hard for you to even wake up and go to church if your church is open at the moment? Why is it difficult for you? Because you are filled with the wrong thing. You see, the Bible says that when Jesus came in the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 8, it says, for Jesus said, come out of this man, you impure spirit. Before Jesus could bring a hope, before Jesus could bring change, before Jesus could bring a miracle, before Jesus could bring revival in this man's life, there was something that had to leave. He was filled with something. You see, I want to speak to you today and I want to remind you that maybe there are things you need to take time before you say, God, I want you to fill me with yourself. You need to take time to empty yourself of the evil things, because you're full of TV, you're full of Netflix, you're full of YouTube, you're full of Instagram, you're full of secular music, you're full of these bad conversations you're having on WhatsApp, you're full of the bad air, you are full with the wrong things. And when life hits you, then depression hits you, then hopelessness fills you, and you feel hopeless, and you begin to say, God, I don't know what's going on, because you are full of the wrong things. You are full. Empty yourself. Jesus came in and had to deal with the impure spirit and say that thing must leave him. But let's see what happens. I want to speak because I don't want this podcast episode to be too long. Let's speak about what happens when hope steps in, when God steps in a hopeless situation. Remember, if you're seeing something that's hopeless in your life and maybe you've labeled it as hopeless, I want to speak some hope into that right now. But I also want to speak to some of you who you are feeling strong. But I want you to know that, like I said, the overflow must bless other people. It is time for you to look for people who are feeling hopeless and for the hope and the joy and the peace in your life to bless theirs. Now let's see when God comes into a hopeless situation. Number one, what happened to this man? What happened to this man when God stepped into the situation? Let's look in the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 35. The book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 35. It says, and the people went out to see what happened when hope stepped into the situation. Amen. When God stepped into the situation, people came to see this hopeless situation. When they came to see Jesus, they found the man who had demons gone out of him. And the man was sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was dressed and he was in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now, what we must understand, when we're saying he was sitting, now, this is number one. When hope comes into the situation, your posture will change. Number one, he was sitting. Now, the writer of the story writes he was sitting because maybe you're just thinking, oh, he was sitting down. No, no, no. People had not seen this man sit. You see, when you are in a hopeless situation, you're going to find yourself running from pillar to post. You're going to be running from place to place. You'll be running from person to person. You're going to be running from thing to thing. You're going to be running, trying to find answers, trying to find a solution, trying to find peace, trying to find hope. But what they saw in this man, a man who was out of control, a situation that was out of control, they found him sitting. You see, your posture will change when hope hits you. You see, the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, is, and God has raised us with Christ, and he has seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has seated us in heavenly places. This man, what was happening in the story was a physical representation of what was happening in the spirit. This man was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and the Bible says God will raise you up. In a hopeless situation, he will raise you up and he will seat you with Christ. Why will you be sitting with Christ? Because when you sit down, it's time for you to realize who is in charge. When you sit down, it's God saying that watch the one who has everything under control. Watch God work what he does best. Watch God, who is sovereign, take care of what is happening in the areas that you have no control of. Your posture changes when hope steps in, when God steps in. I want you to remember to speak to people and tell people that God has called them to sit down, to wait on him, to trust in him. God has raised you up, and this is the message you must bring to other people. God will raise you up and he will seat you with Christ in heavenly realms in Jesus' name. Number two, what will happen is your position will change. What we see, your position will change because number one, he was sitting. Number two, he was dressed. You see, this was written down in the Bible because this man was naked. He was vulnerable. You see, when you were in a hopeless situation, you are vulnerable. When you're in a hopeless situation, you are exposed to the elements. You were exposed to danger. You were exposed to the circumstance. But God says that when Jesus stepped into the situation, he dresses that man. He dressed him. He dressed him up and he was covered. So what happens is your position changes. Your position changes when hope steps into a situation, when Jesus steps into that hopeless situation, when you bring God into the hopeless situation, your position changes in that situation. He was dressed. Romans chapter 13, verse 15, it says, "Rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that man was clothed. But right now, I'm going to tell you, in your hopeless situation, make sure you are clothing yourself with Jesus. You see, we are living in a pandemic, coronavirus, where, hey, some people, you know how it is. Sometimes you leave your house and you forget your mask and you need to run back to get your mask to cover yourself to make sure why you are protected. You make sure you don't leave your house without the mask because you know you're protected. You also know you don't leave the house without the mask because there are some places you will not be able to enter without that covering. I want you to understand that the Bible is speaking about a higher covering than just a mask. The Bible is speaking and telling you that you need to cover yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, because if you are not covered with Him, then you are vulnerable. If your mind is not dressed with the Lord Jesus Christ, if your heart is not dressed with the Lord Jesus Christ, your ears, and I'm just using this as a figurative language to say you must be fully covered. You must be, as Cobra says, on the river. You must be immersed in Jesus' name. You must be immersed in Jesus' name with the Lord Jesus Christ. Be covered with Him in your hopeless situation. Then you will be covered and protected. Oh, hallelujah. In the book of Luke chapter 15, verse 20 to 21, it makes me think about the prodigal son. The prodigal son, it says, this was a man, a young man who ran away from the presence of his father, ran away from the home of his father, and found himself in a hopeless situation. Some of you know this story, and if you don't know it, you can read it in the book of Luke chapter 15, and we're just going to pick it up in verse 20 to 22. It says, "So when the prodigal son returned home, when he got up and went to his father, while he was still far off, the father saw him and was filled with compassion for him and ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put the ring on his finger and sandals on his feet.'" Why does the son put a robe on his son? Because when the son left the house, he took off the robe. He took off the covering. He took it off, and that signified that he's no longer under his father. And when the father saw him and welcomed him back into the house, he covered him with a robe. You see, I want you to know that sometimes when you will go through some hopeless situations, you will find yourself taking that situation and removing it from God and saying you will handle it by yourself. You see, the prodigal son said he wanted to handle life on his own. He wanted to do things by himself on his own time, on his own schedule. And he left the house of God. He left the presence of the Father. I want to tell you that when you come back to the presence of the Father is not going to push you out. Listen, I want to tell you, no matter what situation it may have been, maybe you've tried to live your life on your own. Maybe you've tried to handle things by yourself and you found that everything you've tried to carry has failed. I want to tell you that when you return to the Father, He is not going to cast you out. He's going to cover you again with the robe and say that your position is as a child, as a son, and as a daughter. So come back to the Father. What the situation is that you took out of the presence of God, bring it back to the presence of God. Bring it back to the Father. Bring your life back to the Father, and He will cover you with His love, with His mercy, with His peace, with His covering that will take care of you. Never run out of the presence of your Father. Come back, bring back the situation. You see, that is the situation. You know, some of you may have yourselves in the house of God, in the presence of God, but the situation, you've left it out and you've said, "God, I've given up on this." But I want to speak a word of hope and say, bring it back into the house of God. So your position will change. You see, what happens in a hopeless situation when God comes in, number one, is that your posture will change. You'll be seated. You won't be out of control. You'll be seated. Number two is your position will change. You'll be dressed. Your position is in God. You are a daughter of the Most High God. You are a son of the Most High God. You are covered. You are a citizen in the kingdom of heaven. You are a part of the kingdom of God. You have citizenship. You have sonship. You are a daughter of God. the king. And number three, when you bring God into a hopeless situation, you get a right mind. You get a right mind. The book of Corinthians, the Bible says that when the people found this man, he was in his right mind. You see, often when you are in a hopeless situation, your mind gets all jacked up, right? Your mind gets all jacked up. Your thoughts get all messed up. But when your mind is right, it means that your position, and not just your position, but your purpose is right. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 to 5, it says this, the weapons that we fight are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they are divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to God. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to God. He was in his right mind. Now, when you are in a hopeless situation that you are facing, often the thoughts that are going to come to you are going to make you want to be disobedient to God, right? It's going to say, well, I'm going through this situation, so God must understand that I can't obey everything he's doing, right? You may be saying things that because you're going through this thing, so God must understand your disobedience. And hell no, that is not right. The Bible says we take captive every thought and we make it obedient. So guess what? The thoughts of depression are going to come to you. The thoughts of wanting to give up are going to come to you. The thoughts of saying that, hey, you know what? I'm just going to go out and sin. Those thoughts are going to come to you. Anxiety is going to come to you. Worry is going to come to you. Desiring even the things that the world are offering you, those things are going to come to you. But we take those things captive and we make it obedient to God. So we say we take this your depression. You must take your depression and make it obedient to God. You must take your anxiety and make it obedient to God. What does that mean? It means even if you are depressed, you remain obedient to God. Even if you were anxious, you remain obedient to God. Even if you were worried, you remain obedient to God. We take every thought and make it captive and make it obedient to Jesus. So even if it is a hopeless situation, I want you to know when you are welcoming God into the situation, it doesn't mean immediately the situation is going to change. It may take some weeks. It may take some months. It may take some years. But because he is faithful, then we hold unswervingly to this hope and we make sure we stay obedient to God no matter what we are facing. Can someone say amen? And this is a message that you need to also bring to those around you. No matter what you are facing, stay obedient to God. The book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 8, it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. It says, get into the right mind. If you are feeling hopeless, listen, I want to give you this challenge. Begin to think about the things that God has done. Begin to worship God for who he is. Begin to thank God for the clothes that you are wearing. Begin to thank God about the shoes that are on your feet. Begin to thank God that you woke up this morning. Begin to thank God that there is potential over your life. Begin to thank God that you still have people who believe in you. Begin to thank God that even the fact that you are watching this on a cell phone or on a laptop, whatever it is, that you have the resources to have this. Begin to thank God that there are some people who are praying to God to have your problems. Begin to thank God that God is good. Begin to thank God that he is in your life. Begin to thank God and worship him for who he is. Worship him for all he has done. Worship him for what he is doing and worship him for what he is going to do. Begin to think about what is good. Begin to let your mind not dwell on the wrong things, but let your mind dwell on what is good. In the mighty name of Jesus, hope is here and hope is in God. These are the things that happen when hope comes in, when Jesus comes in, when God steps into the situation. Your posture will change. You will be seated with Jesus. Other thing is you'll be dressed with God, means your position will change. You're no longer an outsider, but you're with Christ. But number three is you will get to the right mind. It means your purpose is changed. It means that you must stay focused on your purpose and you must not lose your purpose by being disobedient because of hopelessness. Don't become disobedient because of disappointment. Don't become disobedient because your heart is broken, but remain focused and remain faithful to the one who's faithful to you. I want to say a prayer to you. A prayer that God would bring hope into your life as Jesus stepped into that hopeless situation for this man who had an impure spirit. And maybe you are filled with some things. Let's say this prayer that God would bring hope, but not just hope into us, but may the hope in us overflow this week. Amen. May the hope on the inside of us overflow and may it bless each person that we will meet. And when we hear hopeless situations, may we step in as the light, as representatives of God. Let us say this prayer today. together. Father, I come before you. I pray of hope. I pray for people who are going through hopeless situations. I pray, God, that you would remind them that you are their hope, and may they throw their lives before you as the man did who was filled with an impure spirit. But God, we also pray, may we overflow as we trust in you with joy and with peace. And I pray, my God, may these truths and these realities that are coming to us through this podcast, I pray, my God, may we be those who will carry this presence and carry your glory into the lives of others around us. In the mighty name of Jesus. God, I just want to say quickly a prayer for someone who's listening to this, who is brokenhearted, someone even who is listening to this, who is feeling like they're at the edge of tears, someone who is feeling, my God, like there's something that is shaking on the inside of them. God, I pray that they would know that you're with them, that this podcast is something that they must know, that they must continue to have hope in you, for you are there for them. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. I say amen. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the J. Makopa podcast. Once again, shout out to Rachel Black for doing the introductions this whole month. Next month, we have somebody new. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but if you have submitted, you must know you will be on the podcast. So guys, thank you so much if you're listening on YouTube, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Instagram Live. Remember, I don't save the Instagram Lives. Just go on YouTube, type in J. Makopa podcast, and you'll find this. I hope is the message. Thank you so much. God bless you all. God is love. That's the J. Makopa podcast. I love you guys. I really do. I really do. Thank you so much. Take care. Peace out. Thank you so much for listening to the J. Makopa podcast. Please make sure you subscribe and leave a review, and also share it with all your loved ones and even the haters. Okay, take care, guys.